Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour, lots of good stuff. Talked some tournament, talked some NFL, and a little bit of everything there. Very sportsy first hour. We'll have to figure out some way to unsportsy it a little bit this hour. One thing about that Jets move, moving up to number three.
Yeah.
Boy, you must like the third best quarterback, right? Because there's That's a good chance that you don't get one of the top two, right?
I guess their thinking was, we really like three quarterbacks. If worst case scenario, we get the third one, we'll be happy. If we don't get one of those three, it's a failure. So I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess you're counting on the Giants maybe. Well, but then Giants could easily trade down. Somebody could trade ahead of you up to two.
Could.
And, hell, one could still be in play. The Browns could trade down if they wanted to. So, I guess maybe you're on a quarterback that you're certain isn't going to go one or two. Like, maybe you like Baker Mayfield. Maybe that's your guy.
Then it's weird to trade all the way up to three, isn't it?
I would think you'd get him at six.
Although, I thought so too. And if you don't, I mean,
oh well,
you probably lucked out.
Yeah, you might have dodged
the
bullet.
Wasn't meant to be.
But, you know, I don't know that there's anybody on this roster that I look at and go, I mean, on this draft class that I look at and go, that's the guy I would trade up and get. And like I said, Rosen, I love the skill set, but I wonder about him. Allen is just, to me, you know, great arm, but is he an NFL quarterback? I don't know. Darnold, that hair. Dude, I can't draft a guy with that hair. He looks like such a punk.
I like Sam Darnold. He's the guy I would take. Rosen, I could stomach. The rest, I don't want him in the first round. And I don't care how far Allen can throw the football. It's just not.
People talking about Mason Rudolph as a first-round pick, and I was like, really?
Stock's rising, and I don't want him either.
No. I mean, that's kind of your classic air raid guy, and I don't think he was that great. If you're going to do that, then take Baker Mayfield. But I don't think any of these guys should go. I don't think any of these guys are top 10 talents. But because you have to have one, there's at least three of them are going to go in the top 10. And it'd be interesting to see where Lamar Jackson goes to, because I guess everybody has very widely different opinions on him. I'll have to ask Lance about that when he joins us at 5:30 today. Man, what's going on with all these explosions in Austin, man? There's another one.
A-holes.
Yeah.
Bad people. And apparently now it's like racially motivated. They're targeting like prestigious black families. Like that's work, you know, have had historically black churches or have worked doing stuff in the community with black people. Yeah, so it's some racist hillbilly a-hole.
Hope they catch him.
I do too.
And burn him to the ground.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. We talked a little bit in the first hour about some of the coaching decisions. Did you see what your buddy Mick Cronin had to say about say after the loss? Said he was asked about coming up short of the Sweet 16. Says, doesn't matter to me. You care about the Sweet 16. I don't. I care about winning a national championship. Coach, don't you have to get to the Sweet 16 to win a championship?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity. So that didn't work out. Have you seen the odds now that there's only 16 teams left, who your favorites are?
Yes.
Any thoughts?
My thoughts are, if someone besides Duke or Villanova wins, I will be shocked. And granted, I've already been shocked a few times in this tournament, but to me, Duke and Villanova are the only teams left. Like when I made my list initially of teams that I thought were likely to win, or even, you know, they were the two. They're the only two that are still standing.
Of all your future bets, who's left?
Of all my
future
bets. I know
you've got Aggie left.
I'm down to three.
Okay.
This weekend I lost Rhode Island. I lost Arizona. I lost Xavier. I lost New Mexico State. And then I lost Tennessee. And St. Mary's and UL Lafayette didn't even make the tournament. So those were all gone. So I'm down to Purdue 15-1.
Which is interesting because you can get plus 1,600 on Purdue right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Not ideal. But, which, by the way, I wouldn't take it now if I could. I talked about that with RJ. Like, I'm just not interested anymore.
Okay.
Kentucky, I have at 30-1.
Kentucky is now 7-1, third favorite.
I still don't feel that great about it.
No, but I like it at 30-1, though. That's good value.
And then I have Aggie 85-1.
And Aggie is plus 2,500.
Okay.
So, but I'll be honest. If A&M keeps playing like this, I think they'll beat Michigan.
That wouldn't shock me. Michigan didn't look great. That Michigan UH was, until Syracuse and Michigan State played yesterday, the Michigan UH game was the worst game I've watched in the tournament. Like, it was the most horrible game to watch. It was bad. It was a bad pace. There was bad officiating. There was bad play. It was just a real downer. And then Michigan State Syracuse came and stomped it into the ground.
Yeah, so that was pretty brutal.
That was awful, awful to watch.
How much fun was it to watch Virginia play like absolute garbage, though?
Dude,
I enjoyed the hell out of that, I have to say.
It's so funny because it was pretty obvious that Virginia, they have no, like, okay, they have no backup plan. Like, what do we do if we're having to play from behind? What, you know, when they were down 14, 15 points and there was like 8 minutes left and they're still like walking the ball up the court, you know, they're calling out plays with their fingers and then waiting until the clock gets down to five and taking a shot. I'm like, they have no idea how to change their style of play on offense because their defense is normally so dominant that they never have to do anything else. And, I mean, they were just a joke on offense. And defensively, they weren't very good either, which that's the thing. If you have one of those days where your bread and butter lets you down, what are you going to do? And for them, the answer was curl up and die.
Yeah. Did you see the ticket that somebody bet $800 at the Venetian on? And won $16,000. Good on them. Somebody tweeted us, I don't know who it was, that they had picked against Virginia in the first round and didn't bet it. That's like, oh.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Syracuse Michigan State game, which was 55-53. Did you watch any of that game?
A little, not much. I was flipping around watching other stuff when that one was on.
That was, I mean, it was the most dominant, it was obvious who the better team was. Michigan State was so much better than Syracuse. They couldn't make a shot, though. Like, they dominated every aspect of the game, except they missed all their shots. Tell me if this is even remotely believable. Michigan State out-rebounded them by 21. Michigan State had one less offensive rebound than Syracuse had total rebounds. And Michigan State shot the ball 24 more times than Syracuse. And Syracuse made one three-pointer in the game. If I told you all that, wouldn't you think that it was a blowout?
Yeah.
No, Michigan State lost. I mean, but Syracuse shot 35% from the field. Michigan State just shot 25% from the field. So it was just, what a horrendous, horrendous game to watch. It was so ugly.
713-780-ESPN. I think there's been a lot of ugly games in this tournament, and you've watched all year, so you've seen. I think the officiating's been bad. I think there have been some really sloppy games, and yeah, and really the UH-Michigan game was a great finish.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the rest of it was, eh.
It wasn't fun to watch till the very end.
Yeah, would have been a lot more fun if he missed the three-pointer. Then I might have a different opinion of the game then at that point. But
it was still pretty ugly to watch.
Unless you have a rooting interest, in which case then it was really ugly to watch right at the end. And so it's just like anything else. It's like, you know, depending on where your loyalties lie.
Yep.
A couple of other things that happened. The Raiders have traded Cordarrelle Patterson to the Patriots. Watch him go and have a huge year.
He'll be
now.
Good now.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dominican Sue is wandering around the league visiting teams. He visited the Titans. He's visiting the Rams next.
Oh, boy. Imagine that dude next to Aaron Donald.
Man, that would be silly.
That doesn't seem fair.
And I think they've already done a pretty good job of improving that defense this offseason.
I think the Rams are going to have the best defense in the league next year.
Although it is year two of Wade Phillips.
That's true.
Which is always always a step back.
It is.
But we shall see.
Oh, how about this? On paper, they've got the most talented defense in the league. Doesn't mean it'll translate.
Right.
On paper, they should be the best defense in the league. All right, let's go to my man Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. What's going on, Aubrey?
No, I mean, that's the most talented team in football. I mean, the Rams, they are just stacked. They got the two best players in all of football on both sides of the line. Yeah, I think, man, that team is they should go undefeated.
Well, if Jared Goff doesn't regress too much.
I tell you, I was looking at that team Saturday and just looking up and down the roster, they just, whoa. Boy, I tell you what, the Texans upgraded a little talent back there.
Finally.
Some extra talent. I'm sure happy about that.
Well, you know what I'm happy about, Aubrey?
Yes, sir.
I'm happy that you always give our listeners the best deals.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, this is our listeners. I mean, this is our team. When you pick up the phone, dial 281-DIRT-FREE. Friends, we'll come out to your home, and we don't run away from the problem. We run directly at it. I mean, we run right at the line. You know, we target the very worst area, attack that first. If we cannot please you, we can't run for the touchdown. We don't score. We don't get paid. We don't collect. So let us start in your worst area, carpet, tile, grout, leather drapes, upholstery, air ducts, wool rugs. I mean, we're your one-stop, non-chemical, non-soap shop to get the interior quality of your home done up right. We've got a $100,000 machine. We boast the only company in the world that puts these machines up and down the line. In the people's homes, we come in there, we have our Kempfer pre-spot, our special one, that giant truck, we start in the worst area. If you don't love us, you don't pay. Three rooms, $100. $100 for three rooms, we'll give you $100 free steed drive, so we'll give you $100 worth of free work on a $100 job. Now, the work's labor, you know, setting up our air machines and drying over the carpet, so it doesn't cost us, you know, $100 per se. But it's $100 value to you. 281 Dirt Free, 281 DIRTFRE. Let us come out and do a $100 job for you. You'll be impressed. You'll want us to do something extra. You'll want us to do leather, tapestry, air ducts. You'll give us extra work because you'll love our service. 281 Dirt Free, DirtFreeCarpets.com.
All right, that's Aubrey Theodi. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
Thank you.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. If you haven't checked out sportsmap.com today, a Ken Hoffman column on Why Golf Sucks, which you'd probably appreciate. Our girl Holly has a video on Could This Be Watts' last season as a Texan?
Is it a video of her showing off the photo of her misspelled tattoo?
It is not. It is just a video.
Not interested.
It's her.
Not interested.
It's her with a take on JJ. And
I just want to see that. I got to see it.
I have a story on what the Texans have done so far in free agency and still need to do before the season starts if they're going to not suck. And Joel Blank has a column on how it was a big tournament for Kelvin Sampson and a play to forget there. And we also have the Rockets, weekly Rockets report as they roll through another unbeaten week. And Friday night I wrote a Tyrann Mathieu story when he signed. So there's plenty of good stuff on SportsMap. Go check it out for Monday. And appreciate everybody who's enjoying the site. Real quickly, I do have one hockey play tonight for those of you who are into that. You got to eat minus 160. But I'm taking Boston tonight against Columbus. Columbus starting their backup goalie, who is terrible on the road.
Okay.
So they're saving their good goalie for tomorrow night.
I found a for anybody who bet the tournament this weekend.
Yes.
I found a list of the worst betting beats from the opening weekend of the tournament. The top five.
Okay.
And Purdue isn't even on it.
Wow.
Number five, any money line wagers against Nevada, which I heard about some guy who put a live bet down, a money line bet.
Yeah, like $2,000
to win. $2,200 to win 26.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. That's not good value.
Don't be a dumb with your money.
Yeah, that is just dumb.
I mean, there's no, you're risking 22, whatever. I mean, the thought process might be, well, what, you know, the crazy nonsense that would have to happen to lose that bet. There's a lot, but
see, I don't feel
$26.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's a bad beat. I feel like that's a stupid bet.
But if you remember Nevada, by the way, Nevada was the same boat against Texas. They were down 14 against Texas. Yep. So he's saying any this whole weekend, any bet you bet against Nevada money line, that's a
yeah. I think it was like 99% that Cincinnati was supposed to win.
Two tournament wins to get to the Sweet 16. Nevada held a second half lead for fewer than a combined 10 seconds in those two games. And they won both of them. Georgia State was plus 14.5 against Cincinnati. Had a 47-46 lead with 9.5 minutes to go. And the final dagger came when Georgia State fouled Cincy with 41 seconds left. Bearcats led by 13 at the time, drained both free throws to push their lead out to 15 for the first time all game, which is where the game ended. Georgia State scored 6 points over the final 9.5 minutes to lose by a half point. So that's a pretty bad one.
That one's not a good one.
Duke Iona over 157. Duke hit a three at the end of the first half, taking a 53-39 lead into the half. 92 points. You only need 66.
Feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. Live total got up to 180. But the game would finish with 156. The team combined for 7 total points over the final 4 minutes. And the worst part was three missed free throws and 3 missed shots over the final 50 seconds. So that's a tough one. Kentucky minus 5.5, which this was a benefit to me. And this sequence that I'm about to tell you about not only got Davidson the cover, it also covered the over, which I needed as well. They were trailing 76-65 with 23 seconds left. Kentucky fouled. Davidson makes both free throws, 76-67. So they turned an 11-point deficit into 9. Kentucky turns over the inbounds. Davidson hits a three. It's now 6. Davidson fouls. Kentucky makes both, 78-70. Davidson misses a three-pointer, offensive rebound, throws up a prayer with 0.6 seconds left. Splash. Cover.
Ugh.
And Davidson backers then survived. They could have fouled on the inbound. Thank God they didn't. But you're able to get it in, and Number one is the entire Kansas-Seton Hall game, and which another one that I benefited from, by the way. It says four mooses all in the same game. Started with a bad beat in the first half when Kansas hit a three in the final seconds to take a five-point lead into halftime. That shot, which came after two missed Seton Hall free throws, covered the first half line of minus 2.5 for Jayhawk backers. Seton Hall would get its revenge with a meaningless three at the buzzer, which covered 4.5 for the game, 1.5 for the second half, and it barely went over the 155 total, thanks to 31 combined points in the final 80 seconds of the game. Jeez. A minute and 20, 31 points in a minute and 20 seconds to cover that total. So those were your worst beats of the betting weekend.
No, one person's bad beat is another person's lucky win.
Yeah. When Seton Hall hit that three at the buzzer, yeah. My wife was like, they still lost. Why are you celebrating so much?
It's like, well, you should know by now.
Yeah, honey. Come on.
A couple things from the text line. Where can I find your gambling audiobook? Go to GalMediaPublishing.com. You can go to PodcastArena.com. And that thing still holds up pretty well, I must say. And 49 asks, if the Rockets win it all, say they beat Golden State in the playoffs, who would you say had the most surprising season, Rockets or Astros? Benny from Port Arthur. I would say Rockets.
Rockets.
I think
Astros were set up to win last year.
Yeah.
And there was no Warriors standing in their way.
I mean, I think they had to beat more quality teams than what the Rockets basically are going to have to get by the Warriors, who I still think are better than they are. If they do that, I would be surprised. I think the Astros... I thought they had a tougher path, but I also think they were a better team. And in terms of, especially after they got Verlander, I mean, they were set up to win as well as any team in baseball last year. So I would say the Rockets would be more surprising. And I guess part of it is, I think as good as the Dodgers were, I think the Astros were every bit as good. And that series played out that way. I still think that when it comes to a 7-game playoff series, beating the Warriors is not going to be easy.
Yeah,
and I still think they're the better team, and I hope the Rockets prove me wrong, but we'll see. But I if they get by the Warriors, they're winning. I think whoever wins that series wins the title.
I tend to agree,
but I just
I still think that anytime you've got to beat LeBron 4 times out of 7, it's not a given.
No,
so if it's the Cavs, I wouldn't feel as good about it, but the other potential teams they could be facing, the Raptors, the Celtics.
I'm not sure the Rockets match up that well with the Raptors. I mean, they
lost to them.
And I know the regular season doesn't mean anything, but they did lose both games to them. And that one, I mean, I guess maybe I should back off that because I could see them losing that series. I think they'd beat the Celtics. And I still don't know what the Cavs are. I just know that they're LeBron, and as long as they got LeBron, they're going to be good and they're going to be a threat. But yeah, I think getting by Golden State is going to be the issue.
That's the championship to me.
And there was nothing like that. While there were better teams that the Astros had to beat,
this overall would be like the 27 Yankees being in the World or being up against the Astros last year, and them beating them to get to the World Series instead of the actual
Baby Bombers.
Yeah,
I hated that name. Tell you what I don't hate, though, and that's Texans Can Academies, because they do good things. They do great things. They're champions in their own right. They take on kids who have dropped out of other schools. They give them another chance. And really good kids. Some of them had to get jobs to support their families. Some of them had issues with transportation, just getting to school. Well, guess what? Texans Can Academies works around all that and gives them another chance. And so many of them go on to do great things and become big parts of our community. And guess what? You can help, because they need your help. And by your help, just a vehicle you're not using anymore. It could be a car, a truck, a motorcycle. It could be a tractor. It could be anything. And it doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Doesn't matter if it's rusted out. Doesn't matter if it's been sitting there, if it got flooded. No matter what, they'll come and tow it free of charge. They'll process all the paperwork. And your donation's tax deductible, which always looks great on taxes. And you're probably starting to get your refund now, thinking, man, I wish I'd done this last year. We can do it now. And you'll get that money next year. And you get all this for something you're not even using anymore. And if you donate today, how about this? Tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, free $50 Visa gift card. So give them a call. 713-225-4226 is your number. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Be the next Blitzer to step up. and donate your vehicle and write off the car, not the kid.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And Lance just thought of something that we need to ask about. We're going to be doing video streaming in here. Are people going to be able to hear us on the breaks if we're... Because sometimes we say things that might not be construed as appropriate.
I'll have to ask Brandon.
Because...
I don't think they should be able to hear, period.
No.
Well, they'll be able to hear us broadcasting, but they should not be able to hear us when... the mics are off.
So theoretically, the way that it was explained to me was that during the breaks, they're going to be running their own commercials. So I think you're not supposed to be able to hear what's going on over the air.
You think. Or, boy, this okay. is setting up to be a disaster.
Because all these number one shows are about to go.
Yep.
Houston's top sports talk show station is embroiled in a huge mess. Oh, here comes Deadspin. Yeah,
because Fowler and Hoffman were talking about women off air. What's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good, man. Really appreciated you guys having us out to your poker club Friday. That was fun.
That was fun. Yeah. It's a nice spot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Nice.
Very
setup.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really nice. I stuck around until about 7:30-ish playing.
You were a trooper, man. You were there for your show at 7, and then you played the tournament, and you played cash until we were off the air.
Yeah, that's not really a trooper. That's just playing poker.
I know, but yeah.
I get it. Listen, I wasn't doing it for them, for Prime. I was doing it for me, totally selfish reasons. And then by the end, I was actually doing it for 3 or 4 different people at different tables who got my cheese. That was not a...
So you were helping support the other people's bankrolls.
Yeah.
Being generous.
Basically, I was doing that. There was this Russian lady sitting next to me, and I guess she's known around town. You know, these guys all run in the same
circles. Yeah. I've seen a bunch of them
before. I'm sure
you
have, yeah. And she's known as somebody who gets a little feisty, apparently. And she was getting mad because she wasn't catching cards. She started like smacking the table.
Well, that's Russian women.
Yeah. And
Niet.
So we were taught. She goes, I said, where are you from? Like, just being friendly. She goes, take a guess where I'm from. And I said, Yugoslavia. No. Somewhere else.
I always guess Ukraine.
Then she goes, yeah, that would have been it. She goes, Belarus, Russian. Oh, okay. Oh, great. And then she like starts on me about, what do you think about players kneeling for national anthem? I'm thinking,
Oh, God. Did she know that you were a sports talker?
Oh, yeah. That's why she was asking. I'm like, I don't know.
That's why it's so ideal when people have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
That worked real well for me at the table because somebody actually asked Granato. It's like, oh, is Fred here? He's sitting right next to you.
Yeah. It was working for me, and I was at the table with Derek Lewis and Rafer Alston to start.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, to the dealer, I was more famous than both of them.
Well, you do have the number one sports show in the city. So.
Yeah, but still, I would have much rather just not talked about anything like that and just played cards.
Yeah.
And didn't work out.
Have to do a lot of shit. There was another lady at the table who was asking me about Baker Mayfield, and we talked about that. And then the guy next to me was real cool. He was a listener. But, the Russian lady, she was off the charts. She was... When I tried to get out of Russia with me and this, and then I come here and I can't catch any cards. I'm like, wait, what? Did you just go from leaving immigration?
Yeah.
Like, and if somebody kneels for flag, I will personally take offense because this is a great country, even if you can't catch a card to save your life. And I'm like, what? How are you keep working poker into this?
Better cards in Russia, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how she kept working cards into it, but she did.
Well, when's your next mock draft due, Lance?
Well, mine is next week.
Okay.
Next week. I've got taped Mock Draft Live, which is a show that starts every March. We started around this time. It'll air on NFL Network. I think tomorrow night, actually. I think we tape it same day in the lair tomorrow night. So every week.
Who do you do it with?
It's me, Bucky Brooks. Yeah. Charlie Casserly. Daniel Jeremiah. And I'm not sure the host is going to be. But I do know this.
Oh, that blonde chick that hosts
everything? No. Cole something. He used to be on MLB channel and ESPN, I think. Okay. But anyway, his name is Cole, not Colleen Wolf. Colleen Wolf's awesome. Okay. I love Colleen Wolf. But so Bucky Brooks' mock draft is this week. Next week they'll dissect my mock draft. And then so on and so forth. But I'm starting to get better information from some teams. I kind of feel like I know how this draft is going to start to roll out.
Okay, well, how much of an impact, because I know last week you had the Browns trading back up into, like, take Barkley first.
Well, I knew three was going to be for sale.
Right, trade back up to the Colts pick, and you had them taking Rosen or Allen there.
No, I had Barkley if, no, Barkley no Allen, Allen if they went Barkley one.
Right.
Well, once the Jets traded to three, that's no longer, you got to take
Barkley's not going number one.
Barkley's not going to go number one. Okay. It'll be a quarterback, and my guess is it'll be Sam Darnold. Number two, I don't have a feel for number two. A lot of people, Giants fans swear the Gettleman's not going to go quarterback, but I don't know what Giants fans know. So it'll be very interesting. Bucky Brooks and his mock draft that's out now, he has Quentin Nelson go on a guard. You know, they just spent a crap load of money for Nate Solder.
Yeah.
And they're trying to win now. Well, Quentin Nelson is a very special, really talented guard, and they are a mess on their offensive line. So they're going to have two different tackles. Justin Pugh is gone. He's a guard. He went to Arizona. You know, they may, and Weston Richburg's gone. They may have five new offensive linemen. So maybe they
The Giants were like, early in the Andrew Norwell process, they were like a lock to get him. Like everyone said, that's all done, but the ink's not on the paper.
Yep.
And then they don't. So is it crazy to think that they would take a guard there?
No, I guess not. I mean, that's high for a guard, but it's not crazy. I mean, he might be onto something. If you look at Saquon Barkley's a really talented running back, but there are three really good guards, in my opinion. That's a pretty good guard draft, but one of them is really special in Quentin Nelson. Maybe you just think, look, we think Saquon is a special running back too, but the fact is, even special running backs, 7 years is a long time for them, and sometimes even less than that. So let's go with the guard who's going to have maybe a greater impact now. We can still get a really good running back in the second round. That might be the thought process. I think the one guy that could fall, look, Minkah Fitzpatrick is not going to go as early as people think. And I think there is a chance that Saquon Barkley could fall a little bit. If you start to do the numbers with if one is not a running back and two is not a running back, and we know three is not going to be one, if the Browns don't take a running back at four, then all of a sudden, will the Broncos take it at five? Will the Indianapolis Colts take a running back at six? Well, I do think Tampa Bay would take. I don't think Tampa would let Saquon Barkley get past them. They need running back, too. It's a big need for them. So,
well, they're the ones who – Minkah Fitzpatrick's name always comes up when you say Tampa. Because
yeah, and Tampa could go there. I had him in my last mock, but I'm starting to think Minkah falls maybe even beyond 10.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of teams are just kind of saying some of the – I've got him, I think, number 11 on my player rankings.
Is he more of a
– He's a slot corner.
Or a safety.
Yeah, he's right? a hybrid corner
he's
safety.
He's like Kareem Jackson.
Yeah, he's like that or like what Jabril Peppers would play. Can play near the line of scrimmage, can cover a little bit, but you don't want him all the time. I mean, he can cover, but not NFL slot receivers full-time. Right. And he hasn't been a free safety full-time in Alabama, so he has to prove he can do that. So he's really not – I mean, you're not getting drafted in the top five unless you're a special cornerback, and he's not a special cornerback. So he's going to fall further than the general public probably thinks.
Is Orlando Brown going to slip because of the combine, or is he still going to be
– Well, I think he's going to really slip, but Bucky Brooks seems to think he – and I keep mentioning Bucky and his mock because he's a former NFL scout, and he does have some ties around the league. I just don't know when he's guessing and when he's getting something he knows. He's got him staying in the first. Even after an historically poor performance at the combine, he has him staying in the first for the Baltimore Ravens. And – you got to remember Ozzie Newsome was in Cleveland when Orlando Brown's dad, Zeus Brown, played for the Cleveland Browns. So Ozzie knew his dad. Ozzie's with the Ravens. This is going to be Ozzie's last draft as a general manager. So maybe he does go with Orlando Brown there. I still think he's got a chance to fall out of the first, though.
What do you think of obviously the Texans still have a pretty big hole at left tackle. What do you think is going to happen there? Is that something they're going to wait for the draft and try to trade up? Is that something where they're going to wait and see if somebody gets cut?
I think it's a 2019 issue. You have a finite amount of resources, meaning I shouldn't say resources, talent that's available, and you have to trade up to get a tackle. I think Julian Davenport, Kelemete is not going to be a guard. You got Davenport, you've got Chantrell Henderson. You could look.
So one of those guys is going to be a left tackle.
Yeah, it's gonna. Well, I mean, they could look at Jeff Allen there again. Remember he played it. Yeah, there's no good answers. Dude, I don't have a good answer for you.
I mean, at this point, how bad is the decision to move on from Dwayne Brown?
I don't know that they could do any. Dwayne wasn't going to come back. Dwayne wasn't going to come back. The only reason he came back was to get a game on tape so that he could get traded. He just wanted to get healthy. I think that was kind of an understood thing. And it's a mess. It's really a mess. And here's the problem. You don't have a first or a second. So Brian Gain's doing everything he can to fix it without being stupid. And he can't be stupid. Like, you don't want to mortgage a future for an average tackle. You don't want to move three third-rounders so you get into the second for an average tackle. So he's got to play the hand he's been dealt. I think he's done a good job of not overspending. Tyrann Mathieu is a one-year deal, smart. Chantrell Henderson, a one-year deal. You can't give anything more than that to a guy who's played 7 games in 2 years. Kelemete, it was a very reasonable contract. Zach Fulton, a very reasonable contract. He's not spending dumb money at all.
They didn't get any – maybe you'll disagree with me. I don't think they got any great players.
No.
But I think they filled their holes with serviceable bodies.
Yeah, I think they got better at some positions. I don't know that they got good.
Particularly on the offensive line.
Yeah, they had to.
They had so much dead weight there that they really needed four new starters. I think they've gotten three.
They've gotten at least three. And they could draft a guard who could end up challenging for a starting position. I'm telling you, it's not out of the question that you could trade 2/3 into the second for a tackle like Brian O'Neill from Pitt and then draft a guard in the third round with your other pick and get a guy who could come in and compete for a starting position.
Is there a reason why they don't look at Manx or Martin, either one of them, as a guard?
Like, Martin played. So here's what I think could happen.
Last year, Max was the best player on their offensive line, I thought.
Yeah, he's not bad. I think they look at him as Max is going to be – he'll be in competition for a starting guard spot, I think.
Okay.
He will be. Fulton is listed as a center, but that's because Nick Martin's not going to be ready by camp potentially is what I'm hearing. So if he is ready, then you could see Martin back at center, Fulton at right guard, Kelemete at left guard. So then you got two brand new guards and Martin back at center. And then you got Mance who can swing between guard and center.
Spots.
Yeah. Nick Martin was a guard in college. He was a better center than guard. Okay. Zach Fulton can play guard center. Mance can play guard center. And Fulton can play guard center. Yeah. And Martin. All of them can.
And Kelemete, you think, can be guard tackle.
Kelemete can play guard tackle.
But not left tackle.
He played some. For the Saints, yeah. Oh, I don't think you want him to. I don't think you want him to full-time, but I didn't study him enough to know if he – now, Chantrell Henderson can play left or right tackle, but none of these guys are answers.
Your guess to who's day one starter, week one starter, is it Julian Davenport?
My guess would be Chantrell Henderson, somebody with more experience. Okay. If he can play left tackle, they're talking about him playing swing tackle. Well, swing tackle means they'd rather not play at left tackle. So maybe it would be Julian Davenport, who's a good athlete. Maybe he does get – and he's going to be in for a bumpy ride, I can tell you that. He's not going to be ready right off the bat. But you guys going to have to take your lumps. I mean, they average over 30 points a game with a terrible offensive line last year. So it didn't even seem to matter that much to Deshaun Watson. That's the incredible thing. I don't know. There's not an answer. Sometimes it takes more than 1 year, and I think it's going to take into next year. But you gave away a second rounder just to get rid of Brock. I bet you'd wish you had it back now.
And say there's a lot of things. I mean, the way they handled the Dwayne Brown's situation, the way they handled the Osweiler situation, there's a lot of things that went wrong. But you're right. There was too many things to fix in an offseason where there was really one left tackle available that was like, okay, this guy can be a starting left tackle.
And honestly, he got way overpaid. Nate Solder's payday from the Giants was ridiculous.
But because
he was the only one out there.
What's the same reason Kirk Cousins is going to get $100 zillion?
Right. So sometimes when you're the best guy available, that's the going rate for the best guy available. And the reality was there wasn't another one of those guys, and the Texans only having third round picks, you're not going to. It's highly, highly unlikely in my mind that you'll find a starting left tackle not in the first round of the draft.
It's hard. And if you don't get they develop, but if you're not getting a tackle within the first 40, 45 picks, it's really tough.
Especially that you want to play this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean.
Right.
Other ones are developmental players who have some traits. So we'll see. If you're going to do that, you could go get that kid Desmond Harrison from West Georgia, but you already have a developmental tackle on Julian Davenport. I don't think you're going to get another. That's the problem. You don't really – I don't know that it's in your best interest to have another one. Hey, I was meant to ask you, Fred, where were you during Faisley and Majama?
I was actually at UH. Well, I was a senior in high school the year at they were in New Mexico, and then I was a freshman in 84.
So when you saw that basket go in – against Michigan, how much of a flashback was that?
It really wasn't, because it was. I didn't expect them to get by that round, but it did kind of suck.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as they missed that second free throw.
There's a big difference between a national championship and round two.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And actually, that's probably the reason that I quit being a fan was because of that. That was like that was worse than my first divorce.
It was hard. I mean,
yeah, that was just devastating.
To this day, that's one that I've never, ever gotten over. That loss was just terrible. When you think it was over after you beat Louisville, and you thought, and then to know that Houston literally played themselves into a loss, and it frankly hurt Guy V. Lewis's chances of getting into the Hall of Fame for years and years and years.
And they were so – the one thing, though, that was kind of forgotten was they were so gassed after that Louisville game.
It was a high-altitude location.
Yeah, it was 99-91. They'd been down the entire second half, and Meshaw barely played in the championship game because he was wiped out, according to Guy V. He had nothing left.
He got an early foul trouble, too. And then Guy V. left Clyde in, and Clyde picked up his fourth foul in the first half, I think.
The thing is, though, that what really killed him was Alvin Franklin, who was one of the best shooters I've ever been around, went to high school with.
Total bricks.
Missing free throws, and that was the killer, because that guy,
that was the only one who could shoot beside Reed Geddes.
Yeah, and he was in high school, first time we ever beat Clear Lake at Lamarck, won 47-42. Alvin scored 43 of the 47 points. he was that good. And
he was good.
And he could shoot like no one ever. And he was so talented. And we were goofing off one time, and he could hang in the air for so long. He would just go up for a shot, and if you went up to try to block it, he would hit your arms with his hands to get the foul and then shoot the ball and make it. And there's nothing you could do. You're just standing there going.
That's one of those things that I've never understood from a physics standpoint. He was known as a guy who hung on in the air for a long time. Pearl Washington, remember him?
Yeah.
He could do it. Dr. J seemingly could. That ability to almost seems like you just suspend yourself in air. It doesn't make – when is John Brinkus going to knock that out on sports science? Because that makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah, and – but no, that one didn't affect me nearly as much, because I was glad they got there, but I didn't see him. I mean, I thought it would be an upset if they got past Michigan, and you know, there was a difference between that and a team that was supposed to win and didn't.
Right, right. So, all right.
Well,
yeah.
You've become very famous, Lance.
How's that?
I mean, you're a big star now.
How's that?
You're the number one morning show in the city.
Oh, wow. It's just a blessing.
You're now beating Josh Innes.
It's a blessing.
It
every
seems
day.
Like only a month ago, Josh Innes was on Twitter talking about his tremendous ratings and how he is the king of mornings
when
in
he was
Houston.
Actually tied with us at a 2-2.
Well,
even then.
But now we have a new undisputed champion, correct?
At least from 7-9, right?
That's what they're saying from 7-9. That's
all you care about.
Small little window. Feels like something from The Jerk. In this window here.
But that's the window where you were.
That's where I live, in that window.
Hey, man.
That's all I can say.
What can you affect other than that window?
That's all you can do.
That's it.
That's all you can do.
That's all you can. And wow. You can't help it that John falls apart after you leave.
I don't know that he does.
I don't know that he does either. But I just wanted to say that.
I just work when I do, and then I go do the football thing.
Then you basically do two segments a week with the number one show in the city. You help raise this up.
I mean, I just, or you bring, or
I don't
you
think
raise
that's
me
a coincidence.
Up.
No, I don't think it's
you
a coincidence
raise me
at
up,
all.
So that's all I know. I just know we're like number one across the board right now. So
it's pretty good.
I don't know.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think.
I've heard that's good. I don't know. That's what they say.
I think that's good.
All right, man. Are we the sports leader now? Can we change?
Are we Houston sports leader? ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Is there a copyright infringement now? Can we have that title, or do we? Is there a belt that comes our way, or what happens?
I don't think it's a copyright thing.
We should look into it before we start running promos.
Yeah.
I have a theory, though. I think it's all because of Sports Map.
that's another theory out there.
Ever since you guys started writing for Sports Map, we've been number one across the board.
See, that's the other theory that's out there. Just saying. God,
we've got it all figured out, don't we?
Yeah. And we have lots of new listeners because of Culture Map, too. I'll give them a little bit of...
Probably not very many.
No, because we have women who listen to us now, and that's because of Culture Map.
I'm just kidding.
No, but I think it's I've said all along, getting John and Lance back together has raised the whole station.
I think so.
And I'm thrilled to be a part of what we're doing here.
I tried to get Lance to come over here a long time ago, and he gave me a big stiff arm.
No, I wasn't. It was a decision about really. I almost went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that. I almost went to San Francisco, and the program director who tried to bring me over. I mean, I was real. Every single day was like, it's all that was on my mind. And because I was going to have to leave my, you know, move my family there, but I was going to be away from the family from basically September 1 until February because my wife was going to run her first marathon, a Houston marathon. And I'll never forget the program director after I told him no and he went in a different direction. He left 4 months later, San Francisco, to go be with his son in New York. He got tired of flying back and forth. I would have made a huge life-changing move, and he told me, "Yeah, I always knew I was going to do that." So
what a dickweed.
I was thinking, might have wanted to tell me that.
Yeah,
so that's a major deal.
Before I re-signed here, I was a finalist for a job on the West Coast too.
Uh huh.
And same exact thing happened. I didn't take the job because basically the money was like the same. And I'm not moving my family across the country for
the
same
money.
The money
is the same. It doesn't look the same on paper, but it is the same once you get past all the cost of living.
Right.
And state income
that's
tax.
Like we weighed that out, cost of living. And it was basically like our lifestyle wouldn't have changed at all.
Same with me. That's one of the major factors.
But I'm going to have to move across the country for that. And I was like, man, like if I was, you know, suddenly driving around in a Benz, maybe it makes some sense.
But, I saw the number on paper. I'm like, ooh, and then I got on a calculator. Like, oh, cost of living calculator. I was like,
you're like, oh, dude,
it's no difference.
You can't afford coffee.
No, but, it's like $3,900 a month rent for a 3-bedroom, 21 square foot home, 30 minutes away from San Francisco.
The place I was looking was way, it's not San Francisco. It was like a medium sized, it was Portland.
Yeah.
And my wife was from there, so it was like.
That was probably for Chad Dewing's job because he left, I bet.
I think, I don't know.
They were going to put me and Chad Dewing together in San Francisco. That's probably his job.
There you go.
Yeah.
But it turns out the guy who offered me the job, like 3 months later, he's gone.
Yeah. They fired him?
I think they fired him.
Yeah, it's the same station.
Because he didn't get you. That's
where
why.
Would that have left me?
Like, I know.
The dude who...
Chad, my co-host, they got rid of him. The new program director came in from Canada, said he thought sports should not be funny. It should just be super serious. So he got rid of Chad after like a year. I was like,
I hate Canadians.
Yeah. I see why. Is he Canadian?
Yeah, Fred's Canadian.
No, I'm married to a Canadian.
Oh,
he's half Canadian.
I didn't think that's what he's talking about.
The one thing I do hate about Canada is because they have the Canadian content law. We almost moved there a couple years ago, and I would not have been able to work for a year because you have to have a certain amount of Canadians on air at all times, and so I couldn't have gotten a radio job and. Now, after I stayed there for a year and got residency and got citizenship, I could have worked. It wasn't actually a bad deal because my wife was going to make a bleep ton of money and I was just going to play poker for a year.
Yeah.
What a life.
Yeah, that wouldn't have sucked. No. But it's funny how things work out because she had taken the job. And then at the last minute, they found somebody that they didn't have to move from Houston and was going to save them like $6,000.
Yeah.
So they told her, whoops, sorry. And so, like, she was really pissed. But then, like, a week later, she gets this dream job that she has now, and she's been promoted like 3 times in 2 years.
And she's now she's a rich.
Yeah. And I got I got the NFL offer two months after I decided to stay in Houston. The NFL came and said, "Would you like to do this draft thing?" And there's no way I could have moved to San Francisco, learned 2 baseball teams. 2 different football teams, the new basketball team. I mean, those aren't as hard to do, but the baseball would have been a lot tougher, and done the NFL gig, which takes up, you guys know, a lot of time.
It's so funny how sometimes the best decisions you make are the ones where you don't go anywhere, and that's what happened here. I signed a new deal. Now we got Sports Map and everything else, and now you're here, and everybody's kicking ass.
Yeah.
It's just
no, it was the right good. Move. I talked to my wife about it. It's like, it's funny how it works out.
That's the same thing my wife said. She's like, you know what? It would have been nice to go back home, but at the end of the day, this is the right spot for us right now. So it's a good thing.
It's true.
We'll let you get out of here before you get hypothermia. Boys. I know our studio.
I brought my jacket. It's in the
Lance
other room.
Lance is in here in shorts and a t-shirt. I know he's got to be dying.
Hey, at least he's walking around a little better now. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Hour number 3 coming up. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Sports is ESPN 97.5.